Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a podcast named Tim, a father and son movie review podcast, where you guessed it, we review movies. Each week we take a look at a couple movies and just give our general thoughts on it, maybe some trivia, just like you walked out of the movies. Today we are doing Gunpowder Milkshake and There Will Be Blood. I forgot entirely what our theme was, but somehow we ended up on these two movies. You know what? It was anti-heroes. Anti-heroes was the theme for this week. And so those are the movies for this week. We're available on YouTube, so check us out there. And, of course, all the podcast areas, like, share, subscribe, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and podcastnametim.com, our website. You can see everywhere we are, every movie we've ever reviewed, all that good stuff. I am Zach. Dad, how are you this evening?
This evening.
Although, you know, it looks like
it's almost morning.
I'm about to say we might go to morning with this
one. That's fantastic.
Good. That is good to hear.
All times of the day. Until night, I'm good in the morning. About midday, I get a little tired.
Yeah, like four to like six.
Yeah, I'm two to four.
Okay. Yeah, 4 to 6 is my nap time.
I hit a wall at 2 o'clock. I don't know what the heck it is.
I understand. Well, what else have you been watching?
Man, I've been watching.
Watch.
Well, I watched that Val Kilmer documentary, Val.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good. It's pretty interesting. It's kind of sad to watch.
Right.
Watching him, you know, he has one of those holes that he has to cover up to talk.
Right.
And so it's so struggling. And he's one of those guys that got into video real early and videotaped his early career days.
Mm-hmm.
He was on back lots and sets and acting things, and also he has a lot of I think this only showed a very little bit apparently of what he has.
Oh, really? Okay.
So he has things from the Top Gun set and things from the Real Genius set and what's the spoof one?
The spy one?
I can't remember what it's called. The Top Secret.
Top Secret, yeah.
So, yeah, he's got a pretty interesting childhood.
Okay.
So, I mean, not bad. He's a little wacky. He's not to the Gary Busey stage, but he's definitely a little eccentric out there.
Very few people reach that stage.
I don't know if he doesn't exactly live in. I mean, it looks like a nice setting. You know, there's looks like on the beach and all, but there are some of the places, but the rest of it looks like it's a little run down, shall we say. So, anyway, that was pretty interesting. I watched a documentary on Paul McCartney called, was it Paul McCartney 321? It's a real short one, but it's Rick Rubin's. Gets in a room with him with a soundboard, and they just kind of play a few songs and discuss, you know, the ins and outs of it.
Yeah.
Well above my head. The reason I listened to it is Pendulette on his podcast talked about it. You talk about a guy that's just smart.
Mm-hmm.
Pendulette is just one fucking smart guy. He was talking about music, and I guess it's what they call music theory. And the reason I watched it is I wanted to hear. I have no idea. I know that if you push this little chord, or you push this little thing, it makes this sound.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good with this sound. This tempo sounds good, and you can slow it down. But if you listen to his podcast, there's so much more to it. And, of course, Rick Rubin's, I mean, it always amazes me. To go, that guy was Def Jam.
I know.
That's not ZZ Top's road manager. You know, he just looks so just out of place when you think that, you know, Beastie Boys and and all the Def Jam guys and Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I mean, God, he's done so much. But so it's really cool. He just Paul McCartney is very I don't know if his humble is real, genuine, or it's just right. his character now.
Right.
But you know, he was very upfront about, you know, they listened to it. He goes, yeah, yeah, that's off, that's wrong, that must be me. And then, oh yeah, that's John, to see how perfect it is. And so he just kind of, but just the stuff that they can just listen to it and hear all these
yeah
single dynamics in it. I'm like, it sounds like a song to me. I don't hear it. So that was good. Oh geez, what else did I watch? Well, I just got done an hour ago watching the Suicide Squad.
The new one.
The new one.
I never saw the old one.
New one. Huh?
I never saw either.
The first one, I did not see Birds of Prey, and I saw this one. But first, you know, some people said it's a reboot, and some people said, Gunn says it's not a reboot, and it's not a sequel. It's just what it is. Here it is, the movie. I'll take it that way. I don't know. It had some really good kills, and it had some good, interesting dynamics. I kind of understand why he went with lesser known names for it. He didn't go with, he went with, the, you know, like I've never heard of these guys. There was a shark, and there was Cena's guy, whoever
Peacemaker.
He was. And, yeah, Peacemaker. You know, just I've never heard of these guys, so which I'm not, was not a Suicide Squad guy. So Cena was good in it. No one was bad in it.
Mm-hmm.
The end kind of turned into a little bit of a Japanese Power Ranger. Big, what's it called? The
Centaur, Kaiju, or Super
Kaiju movies.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting. Like I said, there's nothing else. I'm not sure to say it was bad, but I keep going to them over and over again on the basis of this one. Probably not, but
okay.
Who knows? And then the most important thing ever.
Yeah.
For a year and a half, I returned to the theaters.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. How was your...
Into a movie theater and watched with two other couples, only six people in the theater. Had the best damn hamburger, though. We went to a movie tavern which serves dinner. And, barbecue bacon and onions. And oh my God, that sounds actually good. For a theater, it was good.
That sounds good.
It was, oh man, even it was, dude, this is a really good burger. It's kind of, you know, wasn't that mediocre movie food. It was really good. Anyway, saw M. Night's new offering, Old. And I liked it.
Okay.
I'm sure it was, we were so giddy about being in a theater again.
Right,
That probably added to it.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely gave it a few points. Acting was a little shady. There was some kind of crappy performances.
Okay.
Story was interesting.
Always are with his movies.
Love the reveal. Didn't like the resolve.
Was there a, you know, memeable M. Night, ooh, a twist? I mean, was it?
It wasn't like a crazy twist.
Okay.
I didn't see it coming.
Okay.
So,
I mean, it wasn't like a villain situation.
The reason it was offered for why this was happening was legit. It was like, oh, all right, that's kind of cool. But then they went beyond it. They felt like they needed to make people feel good.
Okay.
And I didn't want that. I was the resolve and the oh shit, and I can't believe this is what it is and this is happening. Should have been it. Amy liked that they resolved it and they had a nicer round.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a bow on it. I don't think you should have put a bow on this one. I think you should have went, holy crap, are you serious? And then been sent on your way.
Do you think that was probably because of studio pressure, maybe?
I don't know.
Because M. Night can't get away with what M. Night used to be able to get away with.
I mean, it worked. It didn't destroy the movie. I'm just more of an asshole than Amy is. So I would have been all right with people leaving the movie going, damn, I can't believe that's really something that people would do. Where I was like, oh, that's cool. So I'm not giving any spoilers, as you can see. I'm trying not to give spoilers for a few and in case something else. It's too new and I want people to go see it. I liked it.
I do want to see it.
It's definitely not his best. It's definitely not his worst. It's mid-range.
Here's the question.
Yes.
Someone comes to you and says, I'm going to go see one movie this weekend. Should they go see Old or should they go see Suicide Squad?
Oh, God, that's apples and oranges, homie.
Well, I know.
Are you a DC Mark or are you a M. Night Mark? Old.
Okay.
It's different. Suicide Squad's been done.
Okay.
It's a group of people killing people.
Right. Okay.
So we've seen it. Old had enough of a difference. This is the most I've seen him in a movie.
Oh, really? I mean, he was in Signs a bit, if I remember correctly, a decent amount.
This may have been about the same, but he seemed to be he was throughout it a little bit here and there. It was kind of interesting, but very small role, nothing crazy, but.
Well, I watched some stuff this week, actually. I watched, Heroes of the Universe Revelations, which is, of course, the new Kevin Smith written and produced Netflix He-Man show. It only has 5 episodes. I thought it was painfully average. I'm not a big He-Man guy anyway. I love Mark Hamill, but it's very obvious he's just doing another version of the Joker voice for Skeletor.
Right.
I wish. So I'm gonna. I don't really care about spoilers for this. So the first episode, they kill Skeletor and He-Man because they get into the Gray Skull and they get to the source of power and He-Man sacrifices himself to take out both of them. Do what you got to do.
Lame.
But the next 5 episodes is you see Eternia falling into shambles and they're going to try and go back to basically heaven and hell to get the 2 different versions of the sword so we can make the sword again. They end up going to heaven and finding Adam. And he, story-wise, he comes back with them. I'm going to come back. I'm going to right my wrong. I'm going to save Eternia by calling on the power and recharging the magic. Well, he goes to do that. And as he's doing it, everything's being set back the way it's supposed to be. And then Skeletor's right there, killed him, took the sword, and he said, I have the power. And he got souped up, and now Skeletor's been left with the sword.
Well, this was a good ending.
It was a good ending, but I was like, I wish everything else was fine, but I was like, well, that's an interesting thing to end on, with Skeletor being the master of the universe. So.
Interesting.
So, watched that. I watched Vivo today, which is the new, also Netflix, movie. It's Lin-Manuel Miranda. Basically, a monkey and an old man in Cuba. He's invited to go meet the love of his life, who he could never tell he loved her. He let her go to go chase her dreams, but she's going to be doing her last performance, and she wants him to show up. He dies. And the monkey tries to travel to Miami to go to this, her last performance, to give her the song that the man wrote for her. That's kind of story. And it's got a lot of typical Lin-Manuel Miranda songs in it. The monkey is him, and it's what you'd expect. It was, it's
all right.
It's all right.
Well, let's go.
It's called Vivo, V-I-V-O. Yeah. So those are the big things I watched this week. Watched and a little preseason football. Football's back, baby. Football's back. And then I watched these 2 movies, which I'm excited to talk about.
feel like I watched something else, but I can't remember what the heck it was.
Me too. Me too. I'm probably going to watch that Transformers thing that's on Netflix here soon. And some, I don't know. I want to watch some weird stuff too. So we'll see. But let's go ahead and get into this. Let's start with a Gunpowder Milkshake. But before we do that, let's take a quick moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. So Gunpowder Milkshake came out this year, 2021. Has a 1 hour and 54 minute runtime, a 62% on the tomato meter, 49 on the audience score, has a 6 out of 10 on IMDb, directed and written by Nevat Papachado. I don't know how you say that. I apologize. Stars Kieran Gilliam, Lena Headey, Carla Gugino. How do you say her last name?
Because we've seen. I don't know.
This is the last Michelle, of course. I can't ever say her name either. I'm terrible with names. If you've never, if this is your first episode, reading not our strong suit. And Paul Giamatti. Basically, it is a there's a weird world of assassins, and Karen Gilliam, who has a rocky relationship with her mother, decides that she wants to right that wrong for the next generation, if you will. I'll go first because it was your selection for the week. This gets a very affirmative and assertive and
right there.
It's so here's the thing. There are two really good action scenes in it and fight scenes in it. The one in the bowling alley, that was very inventive with the bowling ball and everything. And the one where her arms are knocked out and she can't do nothing. That was great. The lore of this movie is uninteresting. The all-women cast felt forced. And I think this movie goes to show just how good John Wick is because it wanted to be John Wick.
Well,
I mean, that's what it wanted to be, but it's fascinating because I hadn't thought about it. There's these tentpole movies that we get in history where it's like someone makes something amazing and then everyone copies and copies and copies and copies. And on a side note, I don't think we give Home Alone the credit that it deserves because Home Alone redefined every single kids movie for a decade plus and how they were supposed to be made. And so just a shout out on another tentpole movie, but I didn't really care for the universe. I thought the library and stuff were nowhere near as cool and the firm and I have some other thoughts, but I'll let you go.
No, it's exactly what I think I told you when I watched it. That it was, if I wasn't such a Karen Gillan mark, then I would have stuff like this. Where I can reach, then I probably wouldn't like it at all. But yeah, it was definitely good. There's John Wick, Nobody, and then this one. This one didn't even get up to Nobody, as far as I'm concerned. It had some clever ideas, but I feel like that they maybe when they were writing, they went, "That's too much like John Wick, so let's pull it back a little bit." But maybe they should have come up with a more original idea and gone with it. It just wasn't quite.
I liked the film noir kind of. Comic style. It was like a mixing between film noir and comics. I really liked that mashing together a lot. It made me think of a very underrated movie, which I know you'll disagree with, The Phantom. I like The Phantom and The Rocketeer. It just had that appeal. It had The Rocketeer. I like The Phantom. I've almost assigned that a couple times. It had a Rocketeer kind of vibe to it in some respects. Like they could have been in the same universe.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wish they would have done more with the milkshake actual diner. And less.
I like that. I like that scene.
Yeah.
Scene when they went there, that was an amazing.
Yeah, that was great. There was so many good actual action set pieces. I think it just, again, I think this movie is just is there just to prove how good John Wick is, because it got its lore so right, and action. I mean, the action was not up on that level, but the thing that really was that third leg that it standed on was the lore. And in here, I didn't really get the firm. It felt forced. The library felt like this over the top idea. And it, I don't know, it just didn't really feel explained in some respects. It felt like John Wick was more reserved in its
the Continental and all that was
great. It felt more real, and this went for more of a comic book vibe, and it just didn't hold up. I loved Karen Gilliam's look with the, where she was holding, you know, like covering her fair, had like that Carmen Sandiego
kind of look to it.
I don't know. This needed, I don't know what it needed though.
More Paul Giamatti.
Always need more Paul Giamatti. Do you think they'll make a sequel for this? Because they clearly want to.
I don't know now. I'm not sure what it's. If it makes any money at all, then they probably will.
It's Netflix. How do you judge making money on Netflix?
I don't know.
I mean, does Netflix care, or do they just want content?
I don't know how they decide. I guess the views, I guess, is what they'll look at.
I
don't know. I think a second one will be better.
I also agree with that. Because I think
we won't have to go through the setup, and we won't have to go through the.
Yeah, I think that with having her going on like a Kill Bill style mission of, I'm going to take out the firm, I think it would work a lot better, and it would lead to more, you know, more Paul Giamatti, which would always be great. I think I wanted that relationship explained more. I think it's part of it. I needed more screen time with the two of them, and to care that he was stabbing her in the back. And we didn't understand how powerful the firm was.
Yes. I got you on that.
Yeah. And I will say, and maybe this is blasphemous, Lena Headey, I think it's how you say her name. And I know they've made a bajillion of these movies already, and they should have stopped a long time ago. If they ever want to make another Terminator movie, I think she would make an excellent Sarah Connor.
Okay.
That was one of the thoughts that popped into my head in this movie. I was just like, if they wanted to do like another, like going back in time and do someone not, you know, quite as old, she would make a great Sarah Connor. I popped into my head when I was watching the movie. Don't know why.
Isn't she like 50?
Yeah, but she's, I don't know. She doesn't look that old.
She shot her load with Game of Thrones.
See, I never watched that. The only thing I knew her from was from Dread. That new Dread movie that they made. She was like Mama or something like that. Did you ever see that?
No.
Yeah, she was the like the main like drug dealer who like took over the complex. Do you think that the all-women cast hurt the movie? Or what did it seem unnecessary, I guess is my point.
I was all right with it. I just wish they didn't. Maybe it needed to be some other people. Although they're all good in their own right.
They're all good. That's the thing.
I don't know if they necessarily gelled together. Something was weird.
Something, you know what I think?
Right.
I think we needed a shot of them being dropped off at the library earlier in the film. I mean, you can get that stereotypical orphan shot. You know, it's in the rain and you're dropping the basket off. I think we needed that to meet them earlier in the film just to set that up.
Maybe. And maybe there's stuff on the cutting room floor.
That maybe there was.
Helped out, yeah. So.
And I thought the humor of this movie worked too. There was some good humor here.
Dry wit. Again, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
It left me wanting. There's not much more I have to add to this movie, unfortunately. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead then and go to There Will Be Blood, which I literally just got done watching. R rating, 2007 release date, 2 hour and 38 minute runtime, so another long one. 91% on the tomato meter, 86% on the audience score, 8.2 out of 10 on IMDb. Directed and written by Paul Thomas Anderson, who Mr. Tarantino holds in very high regard. Stars, you can say all the other people's names. It stars Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, full stop.
Right.
Basically, an oil man at the turn of the century is out trying to make some money, and he finds a decent well prospect, and it's just about him and this small little town that he is taking over, I guess, might be the best way to describe it. There's a lot to unpack here, in my opinion. This is my selection. What did you think of There Will Be Blood?
This is a Full Metal Jacket movie. Loved the first half, didn't like the second half. Loved the first half. I loved the way he did the business and the way he pursued it and the way he sold himself and the way he was not exactly always up and up, but liked the relationship with the kids and the people. But then when it got to, it was probably a little more than half, but when it got, when he kind of went nuts.
Last 30, when everyone's older?
That's in the last 30, but even a little before, when the brother showed up, it kind of went south. It just, something happened. I don't know. I liked all the setup to it, up to it. I don't know. It kind of fell apart for me.
I definitely agree the first half is stronger. The music was amazing in this film.
Yeah, nice music.
Just watching the oil man process was riveting.
Yes, that's the part I liked. In fact, they were in some disgusting hole. Thanks.
Daniel Day-Lewis was fantastic in this. I love that character. He was, I mean, what this is a character that I intended this episode to be about. You know, someone you love to hate, but you also kind of root for in a weird way. Because he was
very... Again, I did the first half of the movie.
You did root for him then?
The first half, absolutely. Yeah. Just when his brother showed up and it just kind of got... I mean, he'd always been a little bit paranoid, a little bit closed, a little bit something. I don't know. It got a little too weird.
It definitely went off on some tangents. I think the last 30 minutes of the film were the weakest. It's more of a The Hateful Eight situation, where I've got 2 hours and 10 minutes of a great movie, and then I got 30 extra minutes of... It's good, but it's not the same. We were denied one very important scene that did not happen, which I'll get to in a minute. I liked that everyone in this movie was terrible, but had their motivations, like him and the preacher and their dynamic. I just love the snake oil salesman aspect of him and just watching him go in there and just lie to these people to their face and get business done, and how I was actually hoping for a little bit more cutthroat business, to be honest. There was a couple things that threw for a loop. There was the brother showing up. There was a son and his incident. Right. To get him going deaf, and that was kind of a whole. I mean, it was a movie that had this, the survivor, this man who just survived, and no matter what was going to win, and didn't take no for an answer. But he kept throwing these weird situations, which I know we have to keep piling on when you have that kind of character. But it was like this son being deaf, which, look, I get what he did. He sent him. I don't know how to deal with you because I know oil. That's what he knew.
Right.
So he sent him off somewhere where they would help him. And when he was in the church and doing the baptism and he was lying through his teeth just to get the pipeline.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do.
That was fantastic. I like that that came full circle at the end of the film. But the one scene that I think we really denied that I was hoping for was Tilford, when he said that he was going, he said very directly, he said, one day I'm going to show up in your house when you're sleeping and I'm going to cut your throat. And when we move forward into the future, and there's that picture of that nice house, I was like, oh, we're about to get our horse head in the bed moment. That's what I thought it was going. I was like, all right, here we go. We're going to get the moment. We're going to see that in the end, he always gets his man. And we didn't get that scene. So that's annoyed me. It was kind of a Chekhov's gun situation. Like, you said you were going to do it, and this is a man who is capable of doing it.
Right.
I think I needed more in the present time of him dealing with the son, more than the future stuff. I don't know what you think, but I would have liked to see more with that relationship and right after.
Yeah.
Him becoming rich. Right. It was kind of a Citizen Kane situation where you see a man.
I thought of that at one point.
You get, you know, a rich man who's, you see his life in all his different segments, and we're going to go through all of them.
Right.
And he's miserable still, even though he's rich.
Yeah, I didn't like how he treated the son. I just thought that was really shitty.
At the end?
Yeah. Sorry to let him stand on his own feet. But
no, I mean, look. I got it. He was a man who only knew it was a Kirk situation. He didn't want to be, he didn't need to be sitting in a posh house.
Right.
He needed to be, you know, manning a drill.
Right.
He was a prospector. He was an oil man, and he was a man that once he got that success, he didn't know what to do with himself. And I think it was that. And I think he hated himself for not knowing what to do about it. I think he felt out of control. He was a man who wanted control, and because he couldn't solve it with money to fix his kid's hearing.
Right.
He lashed out because he felt like a bad dad. That's how I took it.
Well, he was.
Was he?
Not at first. But as soon as things got rough, he got a little, I don't know. I liked him for a while, but then he annoyed me later. So, I don't know exactly what happened. Just something all of a sudden just clicked. Like, you know, he just became a little too over the top. And I kept waiting for them to announced that he had some kind of mental illness or syphilis or some kind of crazy thing. But, you know, there's one difference of being an ass and being completely.
He was just a man who was out on the frontier. He was a man that time passed him by. He was a man of a different era.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he was an old cowboy in some respects, a prospector. He didn't know about this posh life. That's how I took a lot of it. I agree with you. It tailed off at the end because during the beginning of this, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, this is gonna be up there.
Yeah.
It definitely leveled off, but it did win 2 Oscars, best performance for leading actor, Daniel Day-Lewis,
of course,
and achievement in cinematography, Robert Elswell, I guess I say that. I did really enjoy the cinematography, and I remember that one shot, which I think was on most of the posters. I think there were 2 posters. You either had the picture of him in that suit, or you had the picture of him sitting watching that oil flare up with the fire. And then that was the, the money shot.
Right.
But,
that was crazy that they sit there and have to dig a hole and start pouring oil in it so they don't lose it. How many people died trying to get this stuff out of here, and the different mm-hmm. things falling on their head. That was crazy.
What did you think of the drainage speech at the end of the film and the milkshake? These are 2 movies about milkshakes.
Yeah.
What did you think of the milkshake speech, Dan?
I thought it was kind of weird, but I think I read somewhere that was a popular phrase then or something that came, I drink your milkshake or something. I didn't get it.
Drainage! I really, really enjoyed it. I actually want to noodle on it some more. But there is there's a lot going on here. And God, just the music. That opening the second the opening music hit. Where I had that
It sounded like The Shining.
Yeah, that second that opening music hit, I was like, oh yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
You don't put music like that at the beginning of a film unless you know. You got something on your hands.
Gotcha.
It
was good. I would tell people to watch it. I wouldn't tell people not to watch it. I wouldn't watch it again.
So we had discussed, and you had gotten this confused with another movie that you thought it was, No Country for Old Men, which I've never seen also. Which one would you recommend?
So I don't remember the other one that well. Okay. I'm thinking when I watched that I didn't understand why they made such a big deal out of it.
These because these came out around the same time, and I think these were like the 2 big like.
Yeah, they battled each other for.
You got to see this.
I'm pretty sure after watching it, I was kind of like, I don't get it. I don't get why this was such a hit.
Yeah. I will have to go see that, but I really enjoyed this. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's no Eraserhead, but that was just for you. Well, what are we going to be watching next week? We have we're going to be doing Peacock. We decided that. We did, I think, earlier this year, late last year, we did a Battle of the Networks, and we kind of picked a couple of different, Hulu originals and Netflix originals. But Peacock, I don't think, was around at that point, so we're going to highlight them. What are we going to be watching on?
But it doesn't have to be a Peacock original, right?
It does not have to be original. It just has to be on their service.
We're going to go way back. Not way back. A movie that I don't know. Scott and I used to watch everything together, and there was a movie that was out when I was maybe 12, 13, that I probably shouldn't have been watching. It was on because his daddy had what later became the movie channel. It was called Star Channel, and it was called The Island.
Okay.
It's a horror movie from 1980 called The Island.
And it's on Peacock.
It is on Peacock.
It's not to be confused with Ewan McGregor, Scarlett Johansson, the actor.
Correct. This one stars.
Oh, I see who. I see who it stars. Always a good choice.
Who made one of the greatest horror movies ever? The Hand.
I thought this was the claw.
This is where the power lies.
Who's the claw again?
Baron von Rushke.
No, there was someone else though, right? Didn't someone else?
Blackjack Mulligan did the claw.
I think that's who I was thinking.
He just did the claw, but Baron von Rushke grabbed the claw.
Well, in a couple weeks, I will be going to a end of. There's a friend of mine who has an end of the year or end of the summer party at his house that he graciously hosts every year. Obviously not last year, but he has a great movie that he has always told me about that him and his friends love, 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 love. I think it is one of their favorite movies. And I've never seen it. And since I'm going to be going to this party again, I want to be able to go and talk to him about this film. We're going to be watching Serial Mom.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
Yes.
Kathy Turner? What the hell? Why didn't see that coming? Like, I haven't seen that since it was out.
So there you go. It'll be our first John Waters film.
You know what? I didn't even remember that. So, I mean, Kathleen Turner, right? Isn't she?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember anyone else in it, though.
Damn.
Serial Mom. Serial Mom and the Island. Boy, this is a double bill in any theater.
Whew. That'll put
this will put asses in seats.
Thank you. Yeah. I poked around. I honestly almost picked so that we could have a third semi-Western period piece in a row. I almost picked 310 to Yuma, the Christian Bale wrote Russell Crowe right. one.
Well, I had another one and I turned it on last night. I've heard this movie, but I've never seen it. And the only reason I picked it is because I saw Mark Hamill was in it. It's called Body Bags.
Wasn't Slipstream?
No, Body Bags, which has a lower rating than Slipstream. I don't know that. But I didn't know it was a... it's one of those creep show type things. It's got three individual...
Yeah.
It's from John Carpenter.
Okay.
And I turned it on and I realized it was three different stories. I was like, it's all right. I didn't fuck with that. So I had saved The Island on my to watch list a long time ago because I haven't seen it since then. So however long ago that was. And so it's like, all right, time to watch this.
Body bag thing. Not coming home in a body bag.
No.
Not coming home in a body bag.
Two.
Yeah. This is going to be an exciting week.
Gotta tell you, Lee, coming home in a body bag.
That's a film. I have watched that movie in a long time. I have not watched that movie in forever. I need to.
Welcome.
It's one of the best movies ever.
As was The Idols, what they call it? That's not right.
I don't remember what they call now. The something.
The something.
The ego?
Maybe. I don't know. They're billing something like that. If you go and if you watch the Val documentary, you get to see Val Kilmer, the today's Val Kilmer, and his son dressed as the Adam West and Burt Young. I mean, Burt Ward. Batman, yeah. Robin.
Val Kilmer was billed as Mentor.
Mentor, there you go. I knew something like that. I always liked you, Clarence. Always have.
Side note, I think that the Dennis Hopper speech with Christopher Walken, that scene may be Tarantino's best written work. That's individual scene. That or the James Gandolfini scene. That God, True Romance might be his best written, one of his best written movies.
Yes. I love True Romance.
I love True Romance too. It's so good.
Top fave.
And we reviewed it on this.
We did.
We did all. Here's how many times we've seen True Romance. We didn't. I know when we picked it, we didn't even rewatch it because we just knew. Didn't need to do. I think we did True Romance and My Bloody Valentine that week. It was the third movie. I can't remember what it was. We did it for Valentine's Day, if I remember correct.
That would make sense.
Sweet as a peach. It does taste like a peach. Well, you got anything else before we sign off here late in the night?
Get something important. It's hard to tell you what kind because every place has something different.
Thank you. It's one of my favorite Gary Oldman performances as well.
You're excellent. Absolutely. Look at you, Mr. Majestic.
We need to cut this off now before you just start quoting all of them. Well, I thought this was a good week. I mean, Gunpowder Milkshake was what it was. But I'm going to do some more thinking about There Will Be Blood. Maybe I'll have some more.
I just like either one of them. Gunpowder Milkshake missed its mark, and There Will Be Blood went off the rails.
I'm going to do some more noodling. I might have more comments on this next week.
If you say noodling one more time.
Canoodling. Well.
What else did I watch this week? I really feel like there's something I'm missing.
Probably not.
It was 2 weeks because we took last week off.
We did take last week off. We had important things. That's all right. It is what it is. We watched WrestleFest 93, both of us, which we'll get to at some
point. Nah. Why give the people what they want? We wouldn't be true heels if we did that.
I mean, Vince doesn't give anyone what they want. Look at him.
Don't even get me started on that.
Let's not get started on that.
I'm glad I don't watch the product anymore.
Yeah. Well, you all have a lovely evening, day, morning, whatever time you listen to this. And we'll see you next time here on a podcast named Tim.